Welcome to the Parsha Perspective. Each week, we will delve deep in a weekly Torah portion to find a practical and insightful way to enhance your daily life. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Rabbi Shalom Yemini, and each week we'll look into the weekly Torah portion to find practical and insightful ways to enhance your daily life. This week's Parsha Perspective is in honor of our homeland, Eretz Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may God protect our brave soldiers, and may God return all the hostages from Gaza immediately. This week's Parsha Perspective is in honor of the Refuah Shleima of Rav Amitai, Ben Shoshana, and Henda Bas Adol. May they and all those who need to experience have a speedy and complete recovery. This week's Parsha Perspective is in loving memory of Edward ben Ephraim, Shlomo ben Edward, and Yerachmiel Daniel ben Gedaliah. May their souls be uplifted and may their memories be a blessing. This week's Torah portion is Parshas Pekudei, Sanctuary Beyond Structure, and we finish the second book of the Torah, Sefer Shemais. Our Torah portion begins with Moshe Rabbeinu making an accounting of all the gold, silver, and copper that the Jewish people donated towards the building of the Mishkan. The two foremen in charge of its construction, Bezalel and Eliav, brought all the completed components to Moshe Rabbeinu for inspection. And after reviewing each part, he consecrated each vessel with a special oil and placed them in their intended place. He sprinkled his brother Aaron, the high priest, and his four sons with the same oil to initiate them into the covenant of the priesthood. When Moshe concluded, the Anane HaKavod, the cloud of glory, appeared, signifying God's presence in the Mishkan. And this cloud also served as the nation's guide in the desert. When the cloud would move, the people would travel and followed it till it stopped where they would set up camp. I previously discussed and wrote about the following question in the Parsha Perspective for Pekudei in 2022. Yet it is warranted to revisit this question amid the challenges we face today. The profound lessons embedded in our Torah portion directly counter the questions that many ask themselves today, and I hope to share a new perspective that will, God willing, give us some direction and focus in these very confusing times. The question I previously addressed is that the first pasuk of our Torah portion seems to repeat itself. The Torah writes, Ele Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus, and these are the numbers of the Mishkan, the Tabernacle of Testimony. Why does the Torah, which is normally very concise with its wording, use the word Mishkan twice consecutively in the same pasuk, in the same verse? The Kli Yakar on our Parsha gives an interesting and powerful explanation. He quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that just as there is a physical Mishkan down here on earth, there is a parallel Mishkan in heaven as well, and they resemble and mirror each other in holiness, in effort, and in service of God. The Kli Yakar explains that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching the Jewish nation that the heavenly Mishkan testifies before God how much effort, how much passion, how much energy they put in to constructing the physical Mishkan. And the affirmation continued for 480 years till the building of the first Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim by Shlomo HaMelech, by King Solomon. And therefore it is essential that the physical Mishkan be as magnificent and majestic as possible, as it demonstrates our connection and the depth of our love for God. The Kli Yakar continues that when there is no Mishkan, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, our drive, our struggle, and our effort bear witness for us on high. And each time we fight our nature to build character, a deeper level of our soul is revealed as we further develop our connection to our Creator, our Father in Heaven, the Master of the Universe. The Sifrono, Rav Ovadia Sifrono, gives a deep perspective that when combined with the above explanation should give us some new perspective. He writes that Moshe's Mishkan was superior and superseded all others, including both of the temples, both of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan had a unique characteristic and a distinctive feature that all others were lacking. Before the Mishkan was created, there was an Oel Moed, a tent of meeting. Moshe was designated a specific place to meet and speak with God, and it contained none of the holy vessels, nor did it have constant service as the Mishkan had each day. And hence, the Mishkan was superior to the Oel Moed as a result of its purpose. The Oel Moed was a site of meeting, as opposed to the Mishkan, a home and a dwelling place for God. The Sifrono maintains that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was superior than both of the Bat HaMikdash, both of the temples as well. He argues that the first Beis HaMikdash was mostly built by non-Jews from the nation of Tzoyer, as detailed at Malachim Beis. On the other hand, Moshe's Mishkan was constructed by expert craftsmen with godly wisdom, with godly spirit. The Pasuk writes, "V'asa b'tzal v'aliyav v'chol ish chacham leiv asher nasan Hashem chacham asfuna behem ladas lasais es kol melechas avodas hakodesh." And b'tzal and aliyav and all the skilled people whom God has granted wisdom, talent, and ability to carry out all the holy work that God has commanded. And the second Bais HaMikdash did not contain the Aron HaKodesh, the holy Ark of the Covenant which Moshe's Mishkan had. The Sefarno argues that Moshe's Mishkan was holier and superior than all other places intended for speaking and meeting with God. And he adds a point that should give us some perspective during these challenging times. The Sefarno writes that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was built during one of the most chaotic times for the Jewish people. Despite experiencing God in all his glory with their very own eyes, they rebelled and worshipped another in his stead. While the Mishkan served as a testimony to God's forgiveness, its goal was to be the nucleus of the Jewish experience. From connection to repentance, the Mishkan was the essence of our nation's purpose, bringing God down here to earth. Notwithstanding how temporary the Mishkan was in comparison to the grand beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe's Mishkan was unparalleled. The Mishkan served when the roots of our people were just taking hold, while former slaves were changing the narrative of their story. As a young nation chosen by God was redeemed from Egypt and shaping their perspective while learning their divine purpose. Moshe's Mishkan was not as majestic or imposing as the Beis HaMikdash on top of a mountain, but it was equally, if not even greater, on its effect on our story. No matter the actions of the Jewish people, God wants in. He desires a place in our heart and a home here on earth, and he wishes that we seek his holiness, despite the mistakes we make, keeping the door open for an everlasting embrace. The depth of this lesson is only magnified with the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from Menachem and Lushnerson. The Rebbe constantly emphasized that we are the last generations before the ultimate redemption, the Geula Amitis Vashlema. And despite how low we may feel in comparison to the greatness of the holiness of the previous generations, our actions will be the last nail in the coffin of Galus of exile. It's a profound quote that I want to conclude with. The foundation of any enduring work is not in its physical form, but in the commitment and spirit of those it brings to life. Have a great weekend and good Shabbos.
Thank you for tuning in to The Parsha Perspective. Check out our website, theparshaperspective.com. Send thoughts and comments to theparshaperspective@gmail.com. Till next time, thanks for listening.